Hello, and welcome to the French Kiss Life podcast, all about living with more elegance, style, and joie de vivre in your everyday life. I'm Tanya Lee, your hostess. Let's get started. Well, hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the French Kiss Life podcast. I'm going to be talking about one of my favorite topics today, which is style, believe it or not. I love talking about style because I think style is not just about the clothes we wear. I think it is how we move through the world. It's how we sign a letter. It's how we express ourselves. And I get asked about this topic a lot, and I think it's pretty ironic because I used to have the worst style ever. I wasn't born into a family of style, so it's definitely been something that I've had to cultivate over the years. But in today's episode, I want to talk about my style disaster. And if I could go back and write a love letter to my 12-year-old self, what it would say. So I will always remember this certain day as the day of humiliation. It was sometime during my seventh grade year, and like many young girls, I was very insecure and awkward. I mean, I had long legs, I was lanky, I had acne, and I hadn't quite grown into my teeth yet, if that makes sense. I had a big teeth and a small face. However, there are some memories that are etched deep into our minds, and that's the case of that fateful day for me when my style became my worst nightmare. In fact, it's gone down in my history books as the worst day of middle school. But I was just a teenager trying to find her style. It was the time in my life where I had posters of Rob Lowe and Kirk Cameron hanging on my wall, and I was sneaking around to watch movies like Pretty in Pink and Can't Buy Me Love. And the reason I had to sneak around is because I wasn't allowed to go to the movies, so I basically had to lie to my parents regarding my whereabouts. And then style-wise, it was a time of acid-wash jeans, aviator sunglasses, thanks to Tom Cruise and Top Gun, studded leather jackets and multiple ear piercings, and let's not forget the Swatch Watch and members-only jackets. Do you remember those? So I call this my seventh grade style experiment. While I desperately wanted to fit in, I can assure you that with my personal style, I was not a member of the trendy club. One thing I had going for me is that I didn't want to look like everyone else. While I see this as a good thing now, back then it didn't feel like such a great idea, especially when I had no sense of style and I was on my quest to find it. But there was another factor to consider when I was trying to find my personal style. My family didn't have a lot of money, and paying $80 for the expensive members-only jacket was definitely out of the question. So my parents bought me the knockoff version called the YMCA. It looked exactly the same, but it didn't have that special logo, and everyone, including myself, knew that I was not cool like the rest. So while the popular and rich kids were staying on trend, I always felt behind with my hand-me-downs and my knockoffs. So I needed to find my style, and I needed to make it affordable. So I went to discover my signature piece in my grandmother's shed. My grandmother and my grandfather lived behind us in a single-wide trailer, and I would sometimes have to stay with them. And while I loved them dearly, it was not my favorite place to go because it smelled of mothballs, cigarettes, and burnt food 24/7. Unlike my mom and her mother, who always kept their homes immaculate, my dad's mom did not inherit the domestic gene, but she did have a unique gift. She was able to find the most eccentric things at flea markets and yard sales. And my grandpa had built a shed behind their house beside the grapevine to house all of their stuff, all of their treasures. And looking back now, I realized that they were simply hoarders. But as a young girl, I saw them as a collector of exotic things. And the shed became my escape from the cigarette smoke and my entrance into a whole other world. in it, I would find things like teacups and saucers, and I'd host tea parties with my imaginary friends. There would be old dolls that I'd clean up and clothe. I found a violin one time and attempted to become like a modern day Mozart. That didn't work out so well. But I did discover the world through maps and books and trinkets and all other sorts of treasures in that shed. The shed also became the place where I would start my quest to discover my personal style. I will never forget going through boxes and boxes of clothes and accessories that my grandmother had collected over the years. And looking back, I'm sure that there were some vintage pieces that would have stood the test of time. However, vintage wasn't so cool to a 12-year-old back then. And honestly, what did I know, as I had not yet had a very honed understanding of my own style savvy. So one autumn afternoon, while rummaging through a box of clothing, I found a pair of burnt orange over-the-knee boots with a huge platform and 5-inch block heel. Think Bridget Bardot here, okay? So stay with me. And I'll never forget, my heart skipped a beat. It spoke to me for some reason. And then I also found a perfect length pencil jean skirt. And I say perfect because I wasn't allowed to show my legs, so the skirt hit right where the boots stopped, so I was able to wear it. And I put on this ensemble, and I looked in the dusty shed mirror, and I loved what I saw. It was unlike anything I'd seen the other girls wear. It was unique, and it was so me, and I felt alive. The only problem was this: I couldn't walk in the boots. Plus, they smelled like mothballs, but we could fix the latter. So I spent a week practicing sashaying down the ramp of the shed to avoid looking like a duck in these boots. And I knew the outfit needed something else. It needed a little bit more panache. So I found a simple white t-shirt, but it still needed something. And so I thought to myself, I'm going to pair it with a blazer, integrating classic with an edge. I thought it was a brilliant idea. The only problem was I didn't have a blazer, and the only person I knew that did was my dad. So I raided his closet. Now, keep in mind, my dad is 6'6" tall. He's a big man. So obviously, the blazer I found did not exactly fit well, but it did have a hint of burnt orange. And I was clearly thinking more about the color palette versus the fit. So I had assembled my own style, and I was so proud of my artistry. And the time came for me to make my middle school hallway my runway. And I was excited to wear my new outfit to school, and yet at the same time, I had knots in my stomach. I knew it was unlike anything I'd seen ever walking the school halls before. And this will go down as my worst day of middle school. Here's how it went down. I wasn't prepared for the first wave of humiliation. I stepped onto the school bus, and every kid on the bus, kid you not, burst into laughter. And not just the kids, even the bus driver joined them. I felt nauseous, but I couldn't get off the bus as it had already started to roll away. So already I was feeling a sense of panic about walking into the school. With sweaty palms and a weird gait, because despite all of my practice, I was still walking like a duck down the hall. I tried to sneak into Mr. Austin, who was my science teacher in my first period class, but it was too late. The bell was ringing, and I was the last one to take a seat. Mr. Austin, who I love to this day, had such a sarcastic wit about him, but that day, it wasn't much appreciated on my part, because he looked at me and he said, "Well, Miss Rising, did you think it was Halloween today?" And my classmates broke out into laughter. So for the next 2 hours, I attempted to hold my head high as I wobbled down the hall from class to class, getting stares and laughs and, you know, the typical middle school jokes. And I'll never forget, my excitement for style began to fade into self-loathing. I remember thinking to myself, like, why did you wear this? What were you thinking? You're not one of those cool kids that can pull this off. Just stop trying to stand out. Who do you think you are? You're just a poor girl who lives in a trailer. And with that, my poor little heart just couldn't take it anymore. I'm not sure if it was the kids' cruelty or my own that had me wave the white flag of surrender, but I called my mom and I told her I had a stomach ache because my heart hurts was not an excuse to leave school. With tears in my eyes, I waited for her in the office to come and pick me up. And as usual, my mom was always there for me. She picked me up and she didn't ask me any questions. I think she knew it wasn't my stomach, but what I had to endure that day when I attempted to become a girl of style. I never wore those boots or played dress up in that shed again. And I began to accept that I was not a stylish girl. I reverted back to my old wardrobe, safe and known. And I've been thinking a lot about that little girl lately. Little did I know that this humiliating day would actually mark the turning point for me as an adult in developing my own personal style and into the woman who I've become today. But looking back, if I could reverse time, here's some things I'd like to tell her. This is my love letter to my 12-year-old self. I would say, dear sweet, sweet girl, all those questions that you have about travel, fashion, love, growth, spirituality, be brave enough to follow them. You may not realize it now, but your curiosity is your strength. Your answers will be found in living out the questions. Keep your desire to play around with clothes, write stories, study caterpillars, read books, travel, even if it's in your own mind. But don't ever stop being curious about the world, yourself, and others. Your imagination is the most beautiful part of you. Nurture it every single day. It will lead you to dream worlds that may one day become your reality. I'd also say to her, you're not here to be perfect. You're here to explore and play. Be willing to put together horrible outfits, publish terrible work, freeze on stage, burn the lasagna, make a fool of yourself. Do those things that scare you. Be willing to be judged. Take risks, especially style ones. And in all of that living, you'll realize that being perfect is boring. And when you forget, I want you to remember Rumi's wisdom. Run from what's comfortable. Forget safety. Live where you fear to live. Destroy your reputation. Be notorious. Wouldn't it be nice, my dear sweet girl, if we lived in a world where people were always kind and celebrated each other's efforts to experiment and grow? But darling, that is not the world we live in. Accept that as a fact and let it be. Be willing to allow people to judge you. When people make their sarcastic comments, laugh at your failures, and speak ill towards you, extend them love. They are hurting, but never let the hurt invade your joyful heart. This isn't a contest where you're being judged on whether you're getting it right or wrong. It is a playground for you to have fun. Follow what feels good and true to you. You have a unique soul, one that will guide you throughout life if you'll listen. How do you know when it's speaking? Notice how you feel. What brings you joy? What makes your heart skip a beat? What feels like freedom and love? Follow that. Everything else is simply a distraction from your own glorious path. And when your heart hurts, and trust me, it will, don't be afraid to call someone. In this lifetime, your heart will break into a million pieces. It's part of what you signed up for as a human being. Allow it to shatter over and over again, knowing that no one can ever break your spirit. You are so much more than shattered bits. And when your heart hurts, don't ever feel too prideful or ashamed to pick up the phone and call your mom, a friend, a therapist, a coach, or whoever will hold space for you to heal. Don't think you have to put on a happy face and pretend that it's all okay, because we both know it's not. And remember, your vulnerability is what makes you beautiful as a woman. Face the hurt with people who can guide you through it so that you can always come out wiser and stronger on the other side. And you know what? I think that outfit you wore today would have been a huge hit at Paris Fashion Week. Keep being you, sweet girl, because the world is waiting. I love you. Love, Tanya. Now I want to ask you, do you have a childhood memory that still haunts you? I want you to picture yourself. Pretend she's sitting in front of you. And what would you want her to know? Go and write yourself a love letter. And I'll see you in the next podcast. Cheers.
Mm-hmm.